Disciple Maker series. But before that, shall we turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6? I want to read to us from verses 6 to 10. And the Word of God reads to us, "Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. No, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Dear God, we want to thank you for the opportunity given us this morning to turn to your word. Dear Holy Spirit, illumine our minds and help us to know what is in the word of God and how we can appropriate and apply this word in our daily life. Thank you. Hear this our prayer in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you look into your bulletin this morning, you see the title there, Discipleship in the Home, even fleshed out here. Now, this home that we are talking about, discipleship in the home, is not a typical home where it consists of parents and children. But what we are emphasizing here this morning in our discipleship making series is the spiritual home. If you look into this passage here, especially in verse 10, it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, those of us holding the NIV says here that those who belong to the family of believers. And those of us who are holding the NASB or the RSV, you have this translated as those who are of the household of faith. They are the same. It talks about the spiritual church as a home base for all believers. I think when I write emails, at times you will notice that I sign off as in his larger family, because we are a family of God. We are a household of faith. A household of faith here this morning, when we talk about discipleship in the home, we are talking about discipling the people, the believers, within the four walls of the church to ready themselves, not only to grow in their spiritual life, but to also launch them out to become disciple makers. Now, in his book, Thomas Lear, he's the New Testament professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. In his book, Galatians Saved by Grace, he sort of sum it up, what does it mean to be in the household of faith. He says here, in describing believers as the household of faith, Paul designated Christians as a single spiritual family. We build this family relationship by doing good to one another and treat one another as family members. This is where I'm coming from. As a household of faith, as a family of God, we are together as one. And as a family, just like in any typical family, we learn to live together, we learn to worship together, we learn to serve together, and we learn how to reach out for our Lord Jesus Christ together. For many times, the local congregation is a tangible expression of the household of faith. In this household of faith, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have mutual responsibilities to relate to one another as children of God. The church is often referred to as the household of God. We are often called a spiritual family. And as members of the household of faith, we are taught and commanded to carry out the Great Commission. The church, therefore, must be discipled through training and equipping to fulfill God's calling in reaching the lost for our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 days ago, we have had the opportunity to reach out to the community. It was a very fruitful exercise. I believe those of us who went, we benefited much from that so-called exercise. Because as a church, We want to turn every believer to become a disciple maker at the end of the day. That when someone who's a believer, we will help that someone to become a disciple. From the disciple, we want to help that someone to be a servant. And at the end of the day, we want them to be disciple makers. Now, if you look into this so-called pie chart here, you notice that as those new believers, our priority is to connect them to Jesus Christ and then to connect them to the church and later on to assimilate them into our various cell groups. This is the first stage. And then when they come into the church, we need to equip them. We need to disciple them. This is where we... Oh, sorry. This is where we so-called equip their head, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, and we want to enlarge their heart for love for Jesus Christ and for the lost souls, and also to help them to step up, to step out of the church to serve the community. And then later on, of course, when we see someone who is ready to be so-called mentored, to help them to move into the next level, not just serving and knowing, to help them to be servants of God. We want them to be so-called leaders in time to come. And in the leadership expression, we want them to have these three things. Number one is authenticity. Sorry, I keep on moving. Okay, how shall I do? Sorry, guys. This is beyond me. Can we go back to the... Okay, this is a laser, right? Okay, so we want them to be authentic in their worship, and we want them to be broken in their walk. A broken spirit and contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. And as leaders, as servants, we need to be very authentic. We need to be broken, and we need to be courageous in the work of God. And then finally, we will move them out to become disciples, disciple makers, whether in the ministry, in the marketplace, or in missions. So this is our desire, to be a disciple making church, that we will so-called have this discipleship journey with everyone. So that at the end of the day, we know that someone who comes into the church as a believer, they'll go through the process and they will become disciple servant and then become disciple makers. Now, in my outline for this sermon is printed in your bulletin. If you will, just follow with me. There are the four S's. Number one, I want to bring us to is this, sharing our blessings in verse 6. It says here, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Verse 6, sharing. Now, sharing of blessing is a responsibility in this passage here. It's a responsibility of believers to provide financial assistance to those who serve in the ministry full-time. In the ministry full-time. And those who receive instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. This is not just in Galatians 6 and verse 6. But also, Paul underscores these principles or this teaching, especially in his writings to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 9, 7 to 14, through a set of rhetorical questions. This is not just one-off thing where you find it in Galatians 6, 6. But I want to quickly read to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and from verses 7 to 14. A set of rhetorical questions to underscore what Paul is trying to tell the church, that the church must support those people in full-time ministry. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 7. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard who does not eat of his grapes? And who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say that the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us. Because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If you have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if you reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. And Paul, in his letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, he underscores the same importance of sharing the blessings to those who serve the Lord. He says the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Now, here, it is important for us to know as a church that there are people who serve the Lord full-time. We have to support them financially. That's what it says here. Anyone, in verse 6, who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. I think here, when I look into the expositor's Bible commentary, when Paul says of this financial support, it's actually more than financial support. It is more than supporting the Lord's servant. When Paul speaks of the sharing here, he talks about the fellowship and the partnership. And here, Frank Gabillion in the expositor's Bible commentary says this, that it is more than supporting the Lord's servants. Paul speaks of the sharing as fellowship or partnership, koinonia. As the teacher shares the good things of the word, so the congregation is to share all good things with the teacher. It is about a partnership. It is about fellowship. It is not about the church supporting the full-time workers, and therefore the church becomes the employers. It does not portray any type of that relationship, but rather it portrays very clearly about the partnership and the fellowship. And I believe that all churches, especially those who are biblically based, they really support their pastors and their so-called full-time workers and missionaries. But this morning, I'm not here to appeal for your so-called support or anything. What I want to highlight here is this. This morning, as we talk about discipleship, as we talk about ourselves launching out to reach the community of Christ, I want us to know that the church has been tremendously blessed. And therefore, we need to share these blessings to the community. Because it is what God has called us to do, and the reason why God has placed us here is to share our blessings with the community. And the two events that are coming up, the transiting from primary school to secondary school, and also on the 30th of September, the Lenten Festival. These are events the church are trying to reach the community, to bless them. Anyway, the blessings that we receive from God is for us to bless others. This principle is from the very early times when God called Abraham. In the Abrahamic covenant, God already said this. When God called Abraham out of his own land, he says, I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I'll bless you. I will make your name great and you'll be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So, I want us to understand that as the church has been blessed, let's learn to share our blessings with the community. Let's bring this blessing, God's blessing, to the homes near our church. And we know that God will bless us more so that we can bless the community beyond the few blocks that we door knock on last Friday. God has called us to begin small steps, perhaps in Jerusalem, and then later on in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Starting with Taman Jurong, maybe the whole of Jurong, the whole of Singapore, beyond the shores of Singapore. Let's continue to share our blessings. Secondly, sowing what is good. Sowing what is good. It says in verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So therefore, sow what is good. Because God cannot be mocked. God is the all-omniscient God. God is the all-wise God. He's the omniscient God. You know, we hear this many times over the pulpit, that you can bluff most of the people most of the time. You can bluff some of the people some of the time. You can bluff almost all the people all the time, but you cannot bluff God anytime. Because God is omniscient. God is all-wise. God cannot be mocked. Here, I have two verses for us. Numbers 32 and verse 23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. And those who plow evil and those who sow trouble, reap it. God cannot be mocked. And there are other biblical passages that warn us against mockery. Proverbs 9:12, it says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. And penalties are prepared for mockers. And Isaiah 29, verse 20 says, the ruthless will vanish, the mockers will disappear, and all who have an eye for evil will be cut down. Therefore, sow what is good. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. For the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. For the one, in verse 8, second part, who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You know, there are choices and consequences, and therefore we need to sow what is good. You know, you cannot sow hatred and reap love. You cannot sow bitterness and reap joy. You can't sow conflict and reap peace. You cannot sow complacency and reap excellence. These are all facts and truth because you just cannot. If you plant a coconut tree, you will have coconuts at the end of the day. You don't plant a coconut tree and wait for D24 to come out. There is no way. You know, actions always carry consequences. And the biblical principle of sowing and reaping reminds us to carefully consider our actions and decisions. So, sow what is good. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And therefore, we need to sow what is good. There are choices that we make. There are consequences that we have to face. It's all up to us. While I was preparing this, a video clip came to my mind, and I want us to watch this video clip together. It is a very touching story.
Don't run! 问你话呢，说呀你！
我问你话呢，你说呀你！
我问我妈。
哎，行了，行了，行了。
以后不许偷了。
丫头，装几个包子过来。哎，来了，里边坐。
爸，
啊，来，师傅。
For the benefit of those who don't understand Mandarin, basically it's a very simple story about this good man. He's very kind-hearted. And about this small boy, when his mother was sick, he was desperate. He had no money. And therefore he stole 2 slabs of paracetamol and a bottle of cough mixture. And of course he was caught, and this man paid for the medication and also to give him a bag of dumplings. And 30 years later, this man fell ill and he was hospitalized. And we know that hospital bills are huge, beyond his ability to pay. By the grace of God, the attending doctor was the young boy whom he so-called helped some 30 years ago. And the doctor so-called waived the whole medical bill. And what was touching was that he says the bill has been paid 30 years ago with 2 slabs of Panadol, a bottle of cough mixture, and a bag of dumplings. That's basically the story. It is a very beautiful story. I like it very much, because when you sow something good, you will reap a harvest. Not that we're expecting a harvest, but sometimes beyond our comprehension, that harvest will come in a very timely manner, that harvest will come in a way that's beyond our imagination. So as a church, let's learn to sow what is good, to sow this good in the community. As I was preparing this, I was reading the book by John Stott, the message of Galatians. And this is what John Stott says. He says the sowing is also the doing of good works in the community, not just within the church. This good work will always produce good results. It involves bringing comfort, relief, or assistance to people in need. It may lead a sinner to repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. So, to share our blessings, to sow good things, or sowing what is good. The next thing, soldiering on. Soldiering on in doing good. You know, soldiering on in the Webster College Dictionary, it gives the definition is to proceed on stubbornly and doggedly without giving up. You know, sowing the gospel seed, we will reap spiritual fruits. We must press on. It is not easy to shoulder on, to soldier on in doing good. Even door knocking, it is tough. I don't know how many of you experienced some so nasty incidents last Friday. For my team, not really, except for one family. I knocked at the door and opened. This gentleman was in his perhaps early 50s. He looked at me with that kind of look. What do you want? 你要什么? And I said, 我是对面那个刚搬进来的教会。 我是佛教徒, not interested. Close the door. I said, thank you very much. You know, it is not easy to door knock. You encounter nice people. We encounter a Muslim family, very nice. He said, I like your Christians. What you're doing is very good. Meaning what you're sowing is very good. But at the end of the day, it's not easy. Because even though we told ourselves not to share the gospel, right? We just want to establish relationship and connect with the community. But come on, the cut there is also New Life Baptist Church and all those. People can smell a mile away that we are Christians. We have our hidden agenda, but we are no shame because we are doing this for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know this. People who are Chinese, they open the doors, they entertain us. Behind their mind, you know, what some of them are thinking? Gua yang tou, mai gou rou. You know, we have our hidden agenda. Sorry, I don't know how to translate this into English, but simply put, you hang a goat's head and then you're selling dog's meat. That's it. That's all I know. Okay, but it's more than that. I believe the meaning is more than that. I just don't know how to translate. So, soldiering on is difficult. In verse 9, soldiering on, there are three truths or three principles that we can learn from. Number one is this, that sowing the gospel seed can be exhausting. Verse 9, the first part says, let us not become weary in doing good. It is exhausting. And secondly, it will be rewarded. Second part of verse 9, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. And thirdly, it requires persistence if we do not give up. So let's soldier on. Let's continue to press on, stubbornly, doggedly, to reach the community for our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be patient. We need to be persistent. It will be rewarded. We do not know when we can share the gospel with them. But right now, we are ministering to them. We are meeting their felt needs. But in time to come, the bottom line is that we want to minister to them and to reach them in their spiritual need. And the next one is the seizing every opportunity in doing good. Verse 10. Now, there are three things here that we need to take note of. We must seize the opportunity. This opportunity here speaks of the Kairos moment. It is not the chronological moment. It's not Chronos in Greek, but it's rather Kairos. Meaning, it is not something that, you know, it will happen in a chronological manner. But every moment you're given that opportunity, that Kairos moment, you must seize it. When the path crossed, so to speak, when the two paths cross, you seize it, you share the gospel with them. There are three things we need to see from verse 10 here. Number one, it says this, that doing good has a limited season. Therefore, as we have opportunity, the first part of verse 10, as long as we have opportunity, let's seize it. because it has a season, and the season is limited. And secondly, doing good calls for the endless few. Let us do good to all people. It is not exclusive. It is inclusive, regardless of language, race, or we Singaporeans take the pledge, religion. It is applicable to all. We cannot have preferential treatment. We cannot look at the color of the skin or the language that they speak or the educational level that they had attained. But we are to so-called do good to all people. It's an endless field. And thirdly, doing good to our fellow believers is an imperative. Now we move back within the church. That as we do good to other people outside of the church, much more we need to do within the church, especially those who belong to the family of believers. This is where we want to so-called grow, nurture, equip, and groom our believers, our church members, to become one day disciple makers. We want them to grow and to mature. That discipleship in the household of faith, within these four walls of the church, the discipleship is very important. I think we have a lot of trainings, and now the Book of Acts is going on, and then we have other trainings coming up, so that we can be equipped, so that we have the tools to reach out to the community. Discipleship in the household of faith is of paramount importance. Why is it so important? Because what NLBC is today is a result of the choices she made in the past. What we are today, it is because of the decisions or choices that we have made in the past. We are here today because we make a major decision. We make that bold move to purchase this place, and therefore we are here today. It is because that decision was made some more than 2 years ago, and today we are here. It is the result of that decision and the choice that we made. And what NLBC will be tomorrow will be the result of the choices she makes today. So what New Life is going to be in 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, what she becomes is based on what we are today and what are the decisions and choices we make today, so that in time to come, NLBC will be that kind of church. It is a very deliberate effort. It is intentional, so to speak. And therefore, discipleship in the household of faith is important. What you want your people to become, what you want them to be, it is up to the church. You want them to rest on their laurels, having a good experience every Sunday through the worship and the message and go home, fine. That will become the church that we as leaders want the church to be. But if we leaders, if New Life Baptist Church wants the church to be a disciple-making church, then we have to go through the discipleship journey from believer to disciple to servant and to disciple-maker. We just have to go through that. So therefore, there are two things that are very important here in the application, very quickly. I know my time is running out. I need to stop by 11:30 this morning. Good news for you. Bad news is that they'll bear with me for another 15 minutes. Internal equipping, passion for Christ. You know the greatest commandment in the Bible? Jesus Christ replied when one day he was asked the question, and Jesus replied, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in internal equipping, we must continue to teach our people to be passionate for Christ. If they are not passionate for Christ, they just cannot be passionate for the people. And the later part, I'll talk about the compassion part. And then, in the internal equipping, we thank God that God has given to each one of us different spiritual gifts. It says here that it is He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. What is the purpose of this giving of the gift? It's to prepare God's people for works of service. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. That within the church, we are all gifted differently. There'll be apostles, There'll be prophets, there'll be evangelists, there'll be pastors and teachers. And the list here is not exhaustive. There are also other people possessing other gifts. And therefore, all these gifts put together, surrender them at the altar of God and allow the holy fire of God to consume all these gifts. It can be translated into a beautiful church, a church that's on fire for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are all gifted differently. We need to use our gifts to grow the church, to grow one another, to encourage one another, to equip one another, so that all of us can be soldiers for our Lord Jesus Christ, to soldier on in doing good. Now, this morning, the chairman has already highlighted, enclosed in a bulletin, is the 2018 service survey form. And I read to us the second paragraph of the survey form at the end of it, the last page. It says here, all these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. This is by Eugene Peterson, the Message. But in the NIV, it says here that 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Just as God determines, He gives to us different gifts so that we can grow the church. We are all gifted differently. That is internal equipping. All of us need to be equipped to do the work of God. After we have been equipped, after we are so-called already, we then move out, and that is what I call the external evangelization, compassion for souls. When we go out, basically, we want to evangelize. God has moved us to Jurong. God has given to us our immediate neighbors, Taman Jurong. And we say the T-shirt that we wore right last Friday, door knocking, we love Jurong. We love Jurong. Now, two Saturdays ago, I attended the RCC, that's Renewal Christian Church Thanksgiving service. I don't know where they got the statistics from, perhaps from the GRC or from the whatever. The senior pastor there was saying that they found out from a survey in Jurong, GRC, only 5% of the population in this GRC are Christians. Only 5%. Packed against the national average, the census board, 18.8% of Christians in Singapore. Of course, this 18.8% consists of also the Roman Catholics. But then you see the disparity. In other words, the field is ripe unto harvest. Jurong GRC is one of the largest GRCs around. And only 5% of the population in this GRC are Christians. Therefore, we need the compassion of Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, while he's on earth, each time when he looked at the crowd, he had compassion on them. Each time when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The Lord wants to send us into the harvest field. And the harvest field before us is ripe unto harvest. We are not only commanded to go, but we are also encouraged, exhorted to have the compassion for Christ. We are called to be witnesses, and this has been highlighted many times, especially when we embark on the study of Book of Acts and also the 40 days of prayer, also on the Book of Acts, that this has become one of the key verses that we have so-called embedded into our heart. It says we are all called to be witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. So therefore, the internal equipping and the external evangelizing, they're all very important. We cannot move out of the church unless we are prepared, unless we are equipped.
And then when we are equipped, when we are prepared, then we must also at the same time be compassionate about the community. Because passion for Christ is just one thing. Passion for Christ must cascade from our head to our heart and then to further cascade it down to our hands to reach the community for our Lord Jesus Christ. So, passion for Christ and compassion for souls, they're very important. These two must come together. We cannot be passionate just for Christ alone and we have no compassion for the lost. You know, talking about passion and compassion, okay? The number one man, the current number one man talking about passion and compassion is Dr. Peter Yeo. I think it's only appropriate to invite him to give the closing remark, the concluding remark. I try. I'm not asking you to come out in person, but rather he will give his concluding remark on passion and compassion. He's wondering, when did I give the concluding remark? This concluding remark was given to us, those of us in the Kingfishers of Men, the WhatsApp group, on National Day, 9th of August. He's such a passionate and compassionate person that he's passionate enough to disturb you on National Day. No rest for us. Because I guess National Day, he has nothing to do. And this man, when he has nothing to do, is trouble for all of us. You'll receive an email from, or not very much email, but rather WhatsApp. Okay, Peter, do the concluding remark. And this is what he said. Why door knocking is necessary? Before the residents enter the church must enter their homes. That's what we did two nights ago. The secret to successful door knocking is having a good reason to do so. Meaning members of NLBC must give. Okay? It's all kept. It's by him, not me. It's by him. All members of NLBC must give a good reason to the residents every time they knock on their doors. The residents must look forward to the lime green and orange people visiting them instead of loading it. Now, this I highlighted and I underlined it. I find it very tickle. Lime green and orange people. So from now on, we are all aliens. And Jurong loves aliens. Aliens. So I don't know why Peter describe us as lime green and orange people. Look around you. It's rather funny. But isn't that true? Two nights ago, we were all in either lime green or orange. I want to continue the concluding remark by Peter. He says here, the door knocking strategy will not work, great emphasis there, unless church members have the compassion and passion of Christ for the lost, meaning all our fears, reluctance, lack of enthusiasm after the honeymoon period can only be overcome with the compassion of the Lord and the heartfelt conviction that the Lord has specifically, honorably, and privilegedly assigned us to this work to do for him. And Peter, sorry, I went to check the dictionary because I don't understand what privilegedly is. And apparently there's no such word in the dictionary. And we can say that this is a word that is invented by Dr. Peter Yeo. So you are So when we go out, we are privilegedly. How to say that to complete the sentence? Help me, my English is poor. Never mind, continue with your concluding remark. We must be filled with the compassion for Christ before we can share. Okay, before we can share with compassion about Christ. Peter Yeo, Kingfishers of Men, WhatsApp group, 9th of August 2017, National Day. A man of passion, a man of Compassion? I thought I want to do a confession. Because when Peter is on fire, when Peter is on fire, make sure you're also on fire. You not stay far away from him. No, Peter, we need you. We love you. We need that passion and the compassion. Without further ado, I would like to invite the musicians to come on board. And 3 minutes to 11:30, I kept my words, Mambin. It's good to be sometimes, from time to time, under certain pressure. I always tell people, preaching is like flying a plane. Taking off is optional. Landing is mandatory. So I land. Shall we stand to our feet to sing the closing song, When We Walk With the Lord? May the Lord help us.
To trust and